This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
It's interesting, like, you put yourself out there if you ask your kids, like, what did you think about me as a parent, right? And let them say whatever they want and let thousands, perhaps millions of people watch that. That takes a lot of courage, but today is Father's Day. If you have your outline, if you want to jump into the app, grab that. We are going to work through an outline today. And we just want to say, first of all, to the dads in here watching online, thank you for being a dad. Thank you to our father figures. Thank you for those that have poured their life into others. Today we're going to talk about how to be a great dad. I want to take the pressure off. Just know that I don't know how to be a great dad. I'm still learning too. This is aspirational. We're going to work that way. But also, if you are not a dad, a lot of things we're going to talk about today are just principles to live by. So if you're a grandparent, a mom, just growing and maturing in the Lord, these will fit for you as well. So we're going to talk about how to be a great dad. What does a great dad do? What do they look like? And really, the importance of this is our country, our world needs examples set for them. And God has created dads to really live a certain kind of life. We're going to look at that, and we're going to count down from 5 to 1, okay? Does that sound good? So we're going to do the top 5 things that makes a great dad, and hopefully we can take that and just say, I'm going to move in that direction. So, and this is not one of those where you write it down and then hand it to somebody, okay? So if it's your kind of mode today, I'm going to write this down and hand it to somebody else. Maybe don't do that, okay? Maybe say, I heard something really good you should watch, okay? So here we go. We're going to dive in. Top 5 ways to become a great dad, and what does a great dad do for his family? Okay, so number 5, here we go, we get started. Number 5, what does a great dad do for his family? Number 5 is this: provides for their everyday basic needs. You knew this is foundational. In our world today, though, it's like, used to be dad was the breadwinner and mom was a stay-at-home mom. We know that today a lot of parents have to work. So this applies to both, if you're both working. But if you're a stay-at-home parent, it's still important to know these things, because every child needs to grow up in a safe environment, right? Their basic needs met. They need to know that they have something to eat, they have a place to sleep, and they know that they have clothes to wear, whether they like them or not, it really changes. But they need to know that they're safe, that they're in a safe place, and they're able to grow in this environment, because there's so much pressure in the world. They need to just go, home is where it's good. Home is where it's okay. My home is a safe place. So that's not just the physical needs, but the emotional needs of a child too, where they feel safe. They feel they can be themselves. They can feel like they can take risks. They feel like everything is okay at the end of the day. I was a stay-at-home dad for one summer. For those of you stay-at-home parents, whether you're mom or dad, that's a noble thing, isn't it? I mean, it's one thing to go off to work, but staying home, I remember we did this for a summer between, I stopped being a teacher, I was getting ready to become a pastor, so that was a transition, and to save money, I did that for a summer. After the first 10 minutes, I was like stressed out. It's like, okay, got to get them up, get them ready, feed them and not get the food everywhere, and then clean up, and then keep them occupied while you're cleaning up. And we had good boys, but still was a lot of stress. And then letting them watch TV, like, go watch TV. I don't know if you've ever done that as a parent, but there's got to be something on that you can watch while I'm doing this. And then it's like, what are we going to do today? And money was tight, so it's like, okay, we can't just go do whatever. It's like, we'll go to the park, we'll go to the beach. And then you got to get them in the car, which is extremely stressful, right? And get them in those car seats, making everything's buckled down. You got to drive safely. And then when you get to the park, I could never relax. I was always hypersensitive, like, you climb that thing, you're going to fall off and kill yourself. That was my kind of mentality. And not on my watch is what I would say. Not going to happen on my watch. So I would watch them, make sure they're okay, never looked away, made sure nobody was around them. And then when I got home, it was like their nap time and my nap time. I don't know about you, but I was exhausted. Like, I just need 10 minutes by myself. And that was a whole summer. And for those of you who do this all the time, my hats are off to you, okay? Whether you're stay-at-home mom, stay-at-home dad, or whatever, that's a huge, huge job. But the whole point of that is to giving the children, right, an environment where they feel safe, where their needs are met, and they are loved and they are cared for. For Father's Day this year, I got a kind of a different gift from our next door, across the street neighbor. She had several Japanese maples in her yard, and they're little saplings. And so she dug up 2 of them and gave them to me for Father's Day, which I thought was cool, because we had talked before, and I had told her the story how when my dad was alive, one Father's Day, the only thing he wanted from me was for me to plant a Japanese maple in our yard so I could kind of think about him. So I planted it in that yard, and I put it in a very strategic place in the front where the water, the rainwater comes off the gutter, and it hits this little spot, right? So I planted the tree, which is about my height. When we left the house just a couple years later, it was as tall as the house, and I couldn't take it with us. I was thinking, can I dig this thing up and get it to the house? But there was no way, so I had to leave it. So I will go drive by there every now and then just to see the Japanese maple. Now, when our neighbor gave it to us, she had all the topsoil in there. She told me exactly how to do it. She's a master gardener because she knows I'm not. And she gave me all the topsoil and all the dirt and told me how big to dig the hole, how deep, how wide, all that good stuff. Put it in there, water it every other day. And if you give it the right space, it will grow. I don't have to go out there and do anything else. Give it water and it will grow. I think God designed children the same way, right? Give it a safe place, give a child a safe place, a loving place, and they'll grow and they'll flourish. But we have to provide that. It doesn't just happen. We have to make sure that is given to them. Now, I'm not talking about spoiling. I'm not talking about giving everything they want. I'm not talking about enabling them. I'm just talking about the basic stuff. This is just foundational parenting 101. Give your child what they need. Provide what they need to flourish. 1 Timothy 5:8 says this, "But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and worse than an unbeliever." He's just saying to the people, look, start with your family. Start with your own family and pour into them first. It doesn't mean you don't take care of people around you. You certainly should. But start with your own family. Love on them, provide for them, and let them grow and flourish. So think of your house like this greenhouse, right, where you just have all these little children, if you have children, or just your spouse, or whoever it is in your household. That should be a place where we flourish. And that's what a great dad does. They just say, I want this place to be a place where my family flourishes. So that's number 5 on our list. Okay, so it's foundational. First stop. Number 4, the fourth thing that we do is we move our way to number 1. Fourth thing that makes a great dad is they provide for their family, and they do this. They inspire them to live significant lives. Do this for their family. They inspire them to live significant lives, meaning lives of purpose and meaning, lives of direction, lives that really make a difference in this world. Don't have to be famous, don't have to be great, but teaching the children, like this is what it means to have a life of significance in God's kingdom. Paul, in writing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, writing to the church there in Thessalonica, he compares his relationship with them as to a father to children. He wrote this, he says, "For you know, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory." Now he's talking about his relationship to a church, but again, he's comparing it to a father and children. He's saying, look, understand this, you are called. If you have children, do you realize that they are called by God? They are here for a purpose, not to make your life miserable or to push you or anything like that, especially when they're teenagers. You go, why is this person in my life? And it's like they're here for a reason because God has called them to something huge in their life. To look at your children and go, God, what have you called them to? What are they here for? What did you create them to do? One of the greatest roles of a parent is to help their children discover their calling, whatever it may be. They may be called to be parents. They may be called to a certain job. They may be called to a certain ministry. Helping them discover that and be praying over for them to know that is huge. So they've been called by God. And he said the way that he did it is he did two different things. He exhorted them and he encouraged them. Now, those words are very similar, exhorting and encouraging. Just so you know how this works. Exhort means go do this, all right? I'm going to exhort you to go do this, to go get your homework done, get your chores done. I'm going to tell you this is the direction you need to head. Encouragement is simply, you can do it. You can get it done. You have the resources. And balancing those things is huge as a parent. Learning how to use your words to inspire them, to paint a picture for them. This is the way that we do things. This is the way that God wants you to do things. I want you to get your homework done because it helps you get to your calling. I want you to learn how to contribute to your family now so that when you have your own family, you contribute to them. It's these things that we teach them and pour into them by exhortation and encouragement. And then he says, encourage them to walk in a manner worthy of God. That's all about character. One of the greatest things that a parent can do for their child is instill to them, into them, the character they will need to live out God's calling in their life. To be honest, to be responsible, to take care of the rest of the family, to put others first, to be selfless. These are the things that children need to grab from us and learn from us as we encourage them to follow their calling. You know, it's all about choices, isn't it? Isn't this the main thing a parent does for their child, is teach them how to make choices? Think about your own family. How did you learn to make the choices you make? Did you learn it because you were told to? Did you learn it because you saw someone else did it? I mean, it's all those things together, isn't it? But learning how to make choices is the biggest thing in parenting, whether you're a dad or a mom. I'm going to help you make the choices you need to glorify God and to make the life that you have significant. So it's all about inspiring them to be people of significance. Number three, the third thing, how do you, as we work our way down, what's the third thing that we're called to do as a dad? It's to teach them how to follow Jesus. This is huge. This is where we start really getting into the nuts and bolts of what it means to follow Jesus ourselves when we're moms or dads. We need to teach them how to follow Jesus. Because here's the deal, children need to learn that. It just doesn't happen naturally. And in our culture, that's the last thing they're going to teach them to do. Teachers are paid, and their job is to teach skills, how to learn, how to read, how to do math. They're not there to teach our children how to follow Jesus. That happens in the home. Now, in our children's ministry, we have some great, great teachers, and they're pouring into the lives of the kids here, and that's huge, and we partner with them. But the primary role is in the family. It's helping them to discover what it means to follow Jesus. Ephesians 6:4, in a passage where Paul is describing what does it mean to be a good parent, he writes this, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." I love that word discipline. It's from the same root word as the word disciple. Teach them how to be a disciple of Jesus. How do you follow Jesus? Well, this is how you do it, and we teach them how. Through simple things like devotions when they're little, like we used to do that with our children, do devotions at night. It got so that Ethan could actually quote it to us. We read them so often, he could actually just quote it to us. He would just say, "This is what's coming next." He couldn't read, but he would listen to the same story. He loved David and Goliath. And those little children's devotionals are great. Whether you're a grandparent or parent, you start them there. Teach them how to pray. Model what it means to pray before dinner, at the end of the day. Teach them how to live for Jesus in your daily walk with them. Let them see Jesus in you. And I've talked about before how when our boys got older, before they graduated from high school, I took a year and discipled both of them. We just read books together. We met every week for dinner, and we talked about life. We prayed together, prayed for each other. We spent some time together doing some fun things. Like with Ethan, we climbed Mount Mitchell, and then went and did some kayaking, zip lining, just to kind of top off our year. With Micah, we read, we did all those things, and we went to a Braves game. We drove like all day, went to a night game, and then drove home. And then I showed my trust in him. I fell asleep for an hour while he drove. That was like huge for our trust issues. And so he did a great job. I'm still alive. He's still alive. That's great. And then we did 100 miles hiking together. Over 10 different hikes, and just spending that time and just saying, okay, let's talk about what does it mean to live for Jesus. I picked that up from someone else. I go, that's a great idea, and I wanted to pour it in. And it doesn't stop there, does it? I mean, you're a parent till you die. You parent your whole life. You never stop being a good parent. And so we pour into them our lives. Deuteronomy 6 verse 7 says this in the Shema, that part in Deuteronomy where Moses is telling the Israelites how we're going to do this from now on. How are we going to make this work from now on? How are we going to pass this down from one generation to the next? Because Christianity could stop at one generation if it's not passed on. This is how you pass it on. Deuteronomy 6:7. "You shall teach them diligently to your children," meaning the law of God. and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise, which is basically throughout the day, isn't it? Everything you deal with, everything you do during the day, you just bring God into the conversation. And your children see that, and they listen, and they pick that up. So one of the ways to be a great dad, a great mom, just a great parent, is simply say, I'm going to teach them everything I know about following Jesus. In our culture, that's kind of hard. We're not used to that in the southern culture that we live in, and kind of keep that private. But if we want to move beyond where we are and help our children really understand this, we're going to take every advantage we can and just say, this is how I follow Jesus in this situation, and let them learn that. And that really kind of goes to the second one, the second most important thing that we can do to become a great parent, a great dad. Number two is they set a strong example. Set a strong example. And this is huge because Christianity is not just taught, but it's caught, right? We have to watch people doing that. We need to see them walk through it and be there for them. Paul wrote this in Corinthians. He said, 1 Corinthians 11:1, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Watch me. With all my imperfections, with all the things I get wrong, watch me follow Jesus, because then you'll learn how to do it with all your imperfections and all the things you get wrong. And then together we're going to learn how to follow Jesus. But you can watch me do that, because when I mess up, I need to confess it. When I say the wrong thing, I need to ask for forgiveness. I won't always get this right. And so this is something we ask our children to do. Just watch and pick it up and follow the way that I follow Jesus. My dad, I had a great dad, and sometimes I feel bad about that. I don't know about some of you, because I know people from families that come from situations where they didn't have a great dad in their life, but I was really blessed. My dad was my hero when I grew up. He was the best man at our wedding. I just really looked up to my dad, and he taught me so much just from life. He was a doctor, and I used to go with him on certain house calls. He was busy a lot, and so he made house calls. Remember the days when they made house calls? And so my dad would put me in the car sometime. He did this with my other siblings. He would drive me out to different places. I didn't ever sit in on the actual consultation. I hope you understand that, right? I was never in the room when he was telling somebody or treating them, okay? I sat out with the family, or one day I remember going to this guy's house out in the middle of nowhere. They had a little boy my age. My dad said, go play with him. And so we were playing out in the yard, and the mom had put all the laundry on the, remember when people used to do that? Remember you drive by and there was laundry hanging out? And so she had our sheets out. So we were playing tag through all that, running around, and we were running through, and we both ran into the sheet at the same time, like this, head first, like head on head. We were both flat. And they had to come and get us out. My dad's in there treating somebody else, had to come. And I had a lump on my head like this. Our little boy was just knocked out too. And we was like, okay, the doctor is here, so we're okay. This is going to be all right. And I remember this other little boy and I sitting there with these toys they brought us and just sitting there miserable, like this big lump on my head, while my dad now put ice on both of our heads. And I just remember stories like that. And he just brought me. But I got to see his compassion. I got to see his heart for people, his relationship with Jesus lived out for other people. We lived in a small town in eastern North Carolina, and I remember there were days when someone would pull up in the yard, and they'd get out of their car, and they'd have something in their hand. Like one guy would brought a shrimp. He couldn't pay his bill, but probably today it's like $1,000 worth of shrimp. It was like this big old bag, and he just handed it to my dad because he couldn't pay. Somebody else brought walnuts one time, and it's just a big old bag of walnuts, because if you couldn't pay, my dad said, okay, you'll pay us when you can. And he never said that to us. We just knew when the person arrived, if my dad wasn't home, they had something. They said, this is for your dad. And so I got to see his heart for people. My dad went to church every single Sunday. He brought us up that way. He didn't ever do it like you have to go. It's just like, this is what we do. When I got to be about 10, there was another church where my grandparents went. They had a little better children's ministry. So I said, I want to go there. My dad said, as long as you're in church, it's okay. And eventually the rest of our family moved to the church that I was going to. I was kind of like the forerunner, I guess. So they all came with us. And I remember my dad stepped in the choir. And those of you that grew up with choirs, remember the robes? Remember the robes they wore? And so my dad was up there in the choir wearing his robe. And I remember many times that the back secret door to the choir loft, did anybody else have a secret door to the choir loft? And it would open up and somebody would like pick their head in and stuff like that. And I remember my dad was a tenor, and the guy would come to the guy at the end of the row and whisper something in his ear, and then he'd whisper something and whisper something and whisper something until it got to my dad. And then my dad would get up and walk out because they called him from the hospital. There was an emergency. But he would be there to sing. You know, he would be, I'm on call, I have to go. But I just remember my dad, that was his thing. He would come and he would serve, and he was just always there. Later in life, much later in life, when my dad was in a rehab center, he had a lot of physical ailments, a lot of things going on, and we had to arrange for him to go to this place. And when he got there, he started asking questions like, is there a Bible study? No. He says, well, I'm going to start one. He started a choir. The quality may not have been the best in the world, but they sang to the Lord. And that was his thing. And they actually put him on the board of this place. He was the only resident on the board overseeing the rest of the staff because they wanted his expertise. And again, my dad, didn't sit down and lecture us. There wasn't long talks. It was just that this is how you live. This is how you do it. This is, you do the right thing. And we would just look at him and go, okay, that's how you do it. I think people need that. I think people need to see it to believe it. Okay, that's how it works. And my dad wasn't perfect, but it's like, I understood that's how you follow Jesus. Proverbs 20, verse 7 says this, the righteous who walks in his integrity, blessed are his children after him. The word integrity is the same as the word for integer. It means a whole number. It means it's not split up. In other words, when we have integrity, we're the same at church as we are at home, as the same as we are at work. I've had people like accidentally let a word slip at church, and maybe you've heard this before, and if they're around me, they always go, oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that in church. It's like, well, if you can't say it in church, you can't say it at home, you can't say it at work either, right? Because we're not split people. We're not split people. It's simply being the same at home as you are at work and at church. It's just living that life. And it says that person's children are blessed. They see someone living for Jesus. And I hope that you've had that example in your life of someone who lived it out. Maybe a grandparent, a parent, an aunt and uncle, just someone you know that says, this is how you live. And that's what makes a great dad, someone who can set the example. And number one, the final one, as we work our way down from five, here's the most important one. What does a great dad do? They put love into action. They put love into action. That's huge, isn't it? Love is the greatest of all. Love is the greatest thing that we can do for our kids. And that's what makes a great dad, is how much they express their love. 1 John 3:18 says this, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. In other words, it's easy to talk about, but let's see it happen. Let's see it happen. I read a book this week to get prepared. I stole the title from a book called How to Be a Great Dad. Is that okay? I'm going to give him the credit. It's a guy named Kevin Zephron. He's the pastor of the River Church community out in San Jose. And his story is just fascinating. As a young boy, he grew up in a home with an atheistic father who was Jewish by culture, and his dad drank a lot. And when Kevin was about six, his mom divorced his dad, and his dad basically just kind of left the family alone. Didn't ever touch base with him much, and wasn't really there. And one time, Kevin, as he got a little bit older, said to his dad, "You know, I would like to see you more. I'd like to spend more time with you." And his dad said this, and it's pretty tough. His dad said, I just feel guilty whenever I see you. So I really can't talk to you because I don't want to deal with the guilt. I mean, he actually said that. When Kevin was 16 and his brother was 13, his brother was killed. And Kevin was trying to process the grief of that moment and went to his dad and said, hey, can we talk about this? His dad said, I'm grieving so bad, I can't help you. I can't even help myself. And so there was a long gap in time before Kevin felt like reaching out to his dad again. Years passed, Kevin got married, he had children of his own, and he went to his dad and said, Dad, I just want to kind of reestablish a relationship. I've got kids, I want you to be in my life and in their life. And his dad looked at him and said, what is it you actually need from me? And he said, I just want you to be my dad. And this is a tough thing. His dad looked at him and says, I'm not interested in that. And that was kind of the last conversation they had at that part in their relationship. And it is a tough thing to hear, and you think about that. You know, what dad would say that? But he understood his dad was hurting. And you can go, like, it, different directions with that, right? You can let that crush you or let that drive you. And Kevin said that moment he let it drive him. He said, I'm going to do something to change fatherhood in our country. And so he started a thing called the Great Dad Project, is where the book came from. And he began going into prisons and teaching dads there how to be dads. And he began teaching people at churches how to be great dads, because it's possible. It's possible to do that. In the book, it says about 1 out of 3 children right now in the U.S. are living in homes without a dad. And about 80% of the people in prison are there, and they didn't have a dad figure in their life. 80%. So he goes in and just teaches them 3 basic skills of how to love their children. And I want to present those to you. This is from his book, How to Be a Great Dad. 3 crucial fathering skills are really easy. Here they are. Number 1 is affirmation. He said anyone can do this. Anyone can be an affirming person, whether you're dad or not, right? What does that mean? You just say to your child, I believe in you. I believe in you. I believe God's gifted you in a certain way. I believe that you have a future. I believe there is a hope for you. I love you just the way you are. It's just that simple, affirming them with your words, written or spoken. 2nd skill is acceptance. I accept you the way you are. Who you are, I accept you. This is a safe relationship to live in. And 3 is every child needs affection, physical affection. They need to be touched. They need to be held. They need to be loved. And he says he just teaches those 3 things, and it makes a huge difference in people's lives. It's how you become a great dad. There's nothing huge about it. You don't take your kids on huge trips. You don't have to sit them down and teach them a huge lesson. Just be consistent in affirming your kids and accepting your kids and showing them affection. In the book, he talks about one dad that he came into contact with in prison, a man named Bobby Colombo. Bobby grew up in a home without a dad. He grew up, actually, his mom worked at a bar, and she handed him off to one of the people that works at the bar, and that became his mom. And Bobby Colombo, the kind of think about this, never having a dad figure in his life, just went about life getting into trouble, finding new ways to be destructive, fathered 2 children, kind of abandoned them, and got into trouble, ended up in jail, and ended up in this class, this group, How to Be a Great Dad. And he got to know, through Kevin and the ministry, got to know Jesus. And even though he had messed his life up to that point, says, I want to change. And here's the thing with any of these things, it's a matter of, can you change? With a God who creates change, the answer is yes. You can get better. We can always grow. And so Bobby's going, I don't know how to connect with my kids. I'm stuck here in prison. I can't affirm them. I can't accept them. I can't show them affection. And the simple thing was, Kevin goes, can you write letters? Yeah, I can write letters. Okay, why don't you do that? So he began writing letters. And you can imagine that at first the letters weren't well received. It's like, I don't know if I want to hear from you or not. But then after a while, the daughters, his 2 daughters, began to receive the letters. And in every letter, he had some piece of it that was affirming. I believe in you. I trust you. You have a future. You have a hope. Let me just tell you that I believe that God has you here for a reason. Just different stuff every time. And then acceptance. I accept you. I'm your dad. And I do love you. I can't be with you. But there was always something in there. And there was always some sort of affection that he would spell out. This went on for a while. And then one day, one of his daughters wrote him back and simply said, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. And it was that little thing. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of the changes that you're making in your own life. And I believe in you. And he said, when Bobby came in with that letter, he goes, look, she's copying me. And that was huge for him. Like, I'm finally setting the example. And it's a powerful story, isn't it? I know we would all love to get those letters. Or all right, love to write that kind of letter. But that's how you do it. You just simple little things, maybe an email, maybe a message. Just say, hey, we haven't connected in a while, or I've never said this. It is really scary if you do it for the first time. It's like, oh, I'm going to affirm you after all these years. But it's taking a step of faith and courage and go, this is the kind of dad I want to be. I want to be a dad who affirms, who accepts, who shows affection. That's the 3 ways that we love our kids. There was one more story in the book. I really liked it.
There's about a guy named Bill Glass. Bill Glass is a huge guy. He played lineman in the NFL for a number of years. Started a group called Champions for Christ because a lot of the people in the NFL, a lot of these guys are there, these young men are there, and many of them don't have father figures. They're out there trying to prove themselves over and over and over again. So he began this ministry to help people and young men become great dads. And he said that he would do something in his family all the time. He would say these words as a blessing over his kids. This is the blessing he would bless. He would say, I love you, I bless you, and I love this part. I think you're absolutely terrific, and I'm glad you're my child. His boys grew up to be 6'6", both of them, his two boys. One weighed 260, the other one weighed 280, and they were benching 500 pounds. And he would still go up to his boys, looking up to them now, because they're taller than he is. He would look at them, he'd say, I love you, I bless you. You are absolutely terrific. I'm glad you're my child. He did that all the time. One day, his bigger son of the two, he said that too. And as they separated, because they hugged it through it, his son, who's 6'6", compared to his 6'4", he had to look at his son. His son had tears in his eyes. He goes, thank you, Dad. I needed that today. I just need to hear that. So you can be big and strong, but you still need to hear from your child and from your dad that conversation, I believe in you. I believe in you. Today is Father's Day, you know, and we are here to say thank you to our dads to kind of pour into you. And for some of you, this is not an easy day. It's a hard day. And I know that because you think back about your dad and whatever and how hard that was. And so we want to do a couple of things for you. One, for any adult male today, like we gave out to all the ladies, we give you a basket. For the men today, we're going to give you a Chick-fil-A card, okay, to go to lunch with. Not today because it's closed, but you can go a different day. And then when you get it, you're going to see the amount is $17, okay? And you go, where did you come up with $17? Well, it's $17 because that will get you two meals if you do it right. We just priced out the number one meal times two. You get a little bit extra. But the idea of this is so that you can take somebody else. You can take your dad, you can take your child, you can take your spouse, you can take your best friend. You choose. You can go twice. I mean, if you want to go twice, but it's really designed for you to take someone else today. And so that you, or when you get a chance, just to build a relationship with them and just take one more step in that direction. So as you're leaving today, make sure you get your Chick-fil-A card, and then whatever day you use it to build someone up. Whoever it is, just pour your life into them and affirm them. The other thing we want to do today is for you that maybe this is a tough day and you've struggled in this area with a dad or being a dad or the dad that you had. And I just want you to think about your Heavenly Father. Think about your Heavenly Father who's perfect, who loves you tremendously and faithfully, who wants to be that father maybe you didn't have, or if you did have a great father, wants to just pour through that person. And I want you to think about this. If you could sit down and your Heavenly Father would sit down next to you and just kind of picture what that'd be like and to listen for his voice. And what if you heard this from your Heavenly Father? Just those same words. And he could speak this into your life. I love you. I bless you. And what if you could hear from your Heavenly Father? I think you're absolutely terrific. Wouldn't that be cool? I mean, put in your own words, but I think you're absolutely terrific. Look how I made you. Look what you can do. Look what you're capable of. Look at what I can do through you. I remember every single day you've been alive, and I just loved you, and I just looked down on you with such joy because you are my child. Can you hear your Heavenly Father say that? Can you hear it in your heart? I mean, that's what it's all about, right? Father's Day is the day to celebrate your earthly father, but also recognize your Heavenly Father and how much he cares for you. Today for communion, I want you to think about that. When you take communion, be quiet. Listen for your Father's voice. Hear him say, I love you. I bless you. I think you are absolutely terrific. I'm glad you're my child. In the scriptures, it tells us this, and we can go ahead and pull up the communion verse, please. 1 John 3:1, where it's written, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. You are a child of God today, and he absolutely loves you. Let's pray. Father God, it is a special day today on Father's Day. We recognize you as the greatest Father, the source of our life, the source of our being, the source of everything good in this world, the source of our hope for the future. You're a dad who loves unconditionally, who has affection for us, compassion on us, who provides for us. You are the Father that we look up to and we long for. And I pray that you'll just quiet our hearts today in this some moment where we can just get away with you and hear you say to us those words that we long to hear, just how much you love and accept us. So, Father, bless us and remind us as we take communion that this is possible because you sent your Son to die for us. You loved us that much that you wanted us part of your family. So we eat the bread and drink the juice in memory of him. And pray this in his name. Amen. Let's come up and share communion together.